Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, all, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,464. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Chad Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Come on.
Montgomery.
In the men's room. On tap today, it is a Zerandom question. Your guess is as good as mine. Categories: delicious pizza and Jimi Hendrix. We will play Profile This. Plus headlines, a men's room shout of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
The clack.
All right, here we go to Florida, where two scuba divers find a 2-million-year-old 50-pound bone. Meanwhile, wives with husbands in prison reveal all the ways that they are still able to moan. Yes. Man tries to fly drone into a tornado with results as you would expect. Barista shows in Twitter photo why your job sucks, yet the order is still correct. And a Tampa man gets into an argument over his dog, which leads to a 6-hour standoff with police. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, we touched on this a little bit last week, but there's a Syrian sailor who spent 4 years trapped aboard a cargo ship off the Egyptian coast. And he was trapped on the boat because of some legal dispute that he had nothing to do with. And the only reason he managed to escape is because the ship ran aground and he took advantage of the opportunity. It should be pointed out, for the last two of those 4 years, they say he was on that ship alone, which is not entirely true because it was also overrun with bugs and rodents. Now we go to Tennessee, where, speaking of escape, an elderly couple, they had to perform an escape from an assisted living facility. Now, how did they do it? Turns out the husband used his military training with Morse code to figure out the facility's electric lock code. He listened to people punch the stuff in, he figured it out, and he managed to get out. Impressive stuff. But equally as impressive are those people that don't want to escape, but they want to get in to somewhere, all right? So you would think that, I don't know, entering the grounds of the British royal family would be nearly impossible. It's the British royal family, right? Billions of dollars, security everywhere. Well, it's not. Turns out that a very crazy lady, and I mean literally certifiably crazy, she was not only let into the official residence of Prince Andrew, she convinced the security guards to pay her cab fare. She rolled up in the cab to, like, who are you? She came up with some lie. They said, okay. She said, by the way, cover my fare. And they did. As you might imagine, the Royal Guard is now undergoing a quote-unquote review. Now, these are just some of the stories that we've come across. Stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of a random question. And this is how it works. You call us. We will ask you a question at complete random. And after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
Be a part of the big show, the Random Question. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Hold the Charles, and away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,464.
What a large and in charge program we have for you today.
Guaranteed future repeat. Again, we'll play a little your guess as good as mine. We have some exciting categories. We have, for your listening pleasure, the 10 greatest Jimi Hendrix songs of all time.
All right.
Don't know if you guys watched Little Sounders FC last night.
I did.
They were wearing their Experience Hendrix kits.
Yes, they were.
So in honor of that, we have the 10 greatest Jimi Hendrix songs of all time.
I like one of the announcers on the Sounders game. He pointed out, he said, hey, man, you know, they're wearing these special kits for today in honor of Seattle legend Jimi Hendrix. And the other guy goes, oh, man, my favorite song, one of my favorite songs, All Along the Watchtower. And I'm like, that's cool. It's a cover.
It is.
I'm just saying, it's a great song. Yeah. But
well, the way they played in them last night, maybe it's not shouldn't be a one-offer.
No, I'd wear them every game.
I'm a superstitious athlete, man. I'm one of those guys who wear the same underwear if I hit a home run or something like that. So, yeah.
And they look good.
Not a bad idea.
They looked awesome.
Then we have for you the 10 best states in the United States for pizza.
Ooh.
So there's all kinds of different styles of pizza out there. You know, that there's a Chicago pizza, there's a Detroit-style pizza, New York pizza, Missouri's got a interesting pizza, Wisconsin's got their own kind of weird pizza.
Yeah,
it's not weird, it's just there's a blend of cheese, and it's in a pie crust. And
yeah, looks great.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. We know that Danny V from BJ and Migs, he loves his New Mexico pizza. But either way, these are the 10 best states for pizza lovers.
It always depends on what state you're from.
Well, yeah,
that's
of course.
The best.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And what you love and what you're into there. So it's going to be pizza and Hendrix coming up. Bless you, Ted. On your guess is as good as mine. And today is the day we do our random question. 206-421-ROCK.
Random.
Hello, Steve-O. Welcome to the men's room.
Random. Hola.
Steve-O, welcome to the program. The random question. Steve-O, let me ask you a question, man. Let's see here. Are you married, by the way? You will be in 6 months.
Are you on Bluetooth, man?
Yeah.
Is there any way you could not be? I feel like you're Timmy at the bottom of the well.
We'll save you.
Timmy!
There he is. Okay.
Timmy's back.
Now let me ask you a question. Were you planning, or are you planning to have a wedding with bridesmaids and groomsmen and all that stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
And was it originally scheduled for this year? Or are you doing the Mike Hawk where you had it all planned for last year And then 2020 happened and had to push everything back a year.
No, I was one of the lucky ones. We planned it for this year.
Okay.
All right.
How many groomsmen and or bridesmaids do you estimate will be in the party?
Five.
Five on each side.
Okay. And it's not an estimate. Your bride has already told you this.
Right.
There is no room to negotiate this.
Okay. So here is the question. It's going to be a strange hypothetical, but I believe this is based on sexual prowess, jealousy, all the things
that you want to think about on your wedding day.
Right? Yeah. What groomsman would you not want your significant other to sleep with? You look over and you see all your buddies, your brother, whoever the hell's in this group, and knowing them all very well, when you look over there, you're like, man, she had sex with Jake. I'm not sure she's coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like one of those things. Who would be the guy? Like anybody but him. Even though he's your friend or your brother or your uncle or whatever.
Probably my fiance's brother.
Well, yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. Yeah, that's that, just based on the fact that they're brother and sister.
No, that's part that turns them on. It's just that, you know, the guy's so good looking.
Okay. But there's, but other than that, there's nobody in your friend group. You're like, hell no.
Oh, never mind. No, no.
Hang on.
Here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker. Mother. And. Please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
So the way we do this is, there's groomsmen up that you have picked on stage. One of them, you do not want to sleep with your fiance, your wife. Out of those five, which one we like? No way, I do not want them to sleep with my wife. Hello?
All of them?
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of a tough one.
Yeah, I'm cool with Gary, but not Fred.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
When are you scheduled to get married? How soon is this?
August 25th.
I mean, come on, man. You can't August forget 25th. The date until you've been married for 10 years. You got to at least remember going into it.
August 25th.
All right.
I think that's my anniversary.
Really?
Hold on. I think so.
You're not sure?
I think so.
It is. I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure.
You see how bad this is, man?
I'm going to pre-mark lots of calendars so I don't forget.
I think that is mine.
You think so? How confident are you that that is your anniversary?
I'm going to say 70%.
Okay.
Well, 70%. I'm terrible.
You're 70. So that's where you're like, why does that date sound familiar?
I know. I was like, my sister's on the 20th. That's her birthday.
You're really not sure.
And now that August 25th. No, I'm pretty sure that's it.
You're pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure that's it. Because I was like a month and a half after you.
Yeah. I know when mine is.
I know. But you bought the date for that. You paid extra for that.
Well, no, it worked out in our favor. We wanted to get married on a Friday night. I don't know why that seemed important, but wanted to get married on a Friday night. It would have been July 6th, right? No big deal to us. Anyway, that night was already booked, and the wedding planner or whatever the hell this chick was, she was like, hey, that Friday's booked, but believe it or not, the following day, the 7th, we've got it. And we kind of hemmed and hawed, and I said, wait a minute. Are you getting married on June 7th, 2007? Do it. 777, I can't forget. And,
yeah.
And honest to God, I said, look, I can't forget this date, so let's do 777. Then what got even crazier, because we didn't really care about the 777. For me, it was just convenient that it worked out. And as a dude, and we struggle with dates, I can't forget this one. Well, as the date got closer, we almost sold off our wedding date, because apparently it became a big thing maybe in May of that year. The idea of getting married on 777 for good luck. You hear how lucky I sound. So it was a good.
It is easy to remember. Right.
And that was the thing, man. So it ended up being a bonus. Right. And it just happened. And we could have sold it for an extraordinary amount of money because so many brides wanted to get married.
Damn.
So we thought about it. But in the end, and this is the honest to God truth, I said, babe, it's more important for me to remember the goddamn date that we get married than it is to solve this date. Let's keep it.
Yeah. The reason we asked, what groomsman or bridesmaid would you not want your significant other to sleep with? This is definitely a creative way to save some money and budget your wedding. And by creative, I mean this is really messed up if your wife finds out. But a wedding singer and musician in UK, he just posted a screenshot on Facebook of some text messages that he got from a groom who was trying to book him for his wedding.
All right.
Groom basically said he couldn't pay in money, but if the guy performed, he'd get free food.
He would get beer and, quote, I will put in a good word with one of the bridesmaids.
All right.
I'm sure lockdowns got them like wild animals.
Wait, you haven't already talked to the bridesmaids, and there's one bridesmaid that says, ooh, you're getting that guy? Hell yeah, I'd knock boots with him. You're just assuming that if you book this guy, you can then have this weird conversation, say, hey, ladies, listen, look, I can't afford really to pay the musician, so I told him that one of you would sleep with him.
You know the groomsman or the bridesmaid that you're going to ask first.
Absolutely.
You know exactly. Like,
everybody
you know
knows. Right. It's like he's saying, hey, you got to have sex with him. He's putting in a good word. Look, you've been to as many weddings as I have. Like, almost as soon as you show up, somebody would be like, all right, here's the lowdown. She's single. She's not. She is. Like,
okay.
They're always giving out that
info. So you're saying you feel if you propose this, you're probably, what, nine, based on who you know, the one bridesmaid, that one.
Yeah.
Because even your bride knows that one. That's the one everyone's going to keep an eye on because she's going to disappear somewhere. 90% confident that this will work out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If I'm that musician, I take the odds.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I've been to a lot of weddings. I've only hooked up at a couple of them.
Right.
There was definitely one where there was, I lost out. I'll just put it that way.
You had a shot.
I did.
Too much alcohol.
No. George is just better looking.
Oh. Was he in the wedding party as well?
He was. Friday night, we both put in work.
And then the musician's got it made, man.
Then Saturday, yeah, he just, you know, he's a good-looking man. I don't know what else to say. I mean, he is gorgeous.
He's a closer.
Gorgeous, yeah. George.
He's a closer. Wedding singer ended up turning him down because he needed money. But the groom kept trying, and eventually the groom called the wedding singer, quote, ungrateful for turning down the offer.
Oh, come on. Ungrateful?
Ungrateful.
Random. That's ungrateful. Random. Hello, Cole. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's stick with fornication. Who did you sleep with that you would say is not your normal type? Jesus, God.
I slept with this, like, country girl at a country bar a couple years ago, or, like, last year. And, don't get me wrong, country girls are awesome. But, yeah, hell yeah, country girls are awesome. I love me a country girl.
Sure.
But I normally go for, like, the goth girls, the alt girls, you know, like, dyed hair, black hair, colored hair.
Okay, yeah, I got you, man. So the country girl, this was like an exotic vacation from your normal type.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, she broke my bed, so.
She broke your bed?
She's country strong, player.
Are you
really good at riding, you know?
Are you demoing a house right now?
No, I'm throwing around some bags of powdered milk.
That sounds hot.
Are you working at a grocery store?
No, I'm working at a warehouse. Room, I'll lift that up first.
Who the hell buys powdered milk?
I don't know. You guys ever have powdered milk?
Yeah, I had. Like, you know what I mean? Like, things got real bad and we had powdered milk.
Maybe if you're an outdoorsman.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
We're obviously not outdoorsmen.
Okay. Well, the reason we ask who did you sleep with is not your normal type. Polar bears and grizzly bears. Diverged about 500,000 years ago. Now a changing planet appears to be bringing them back together.
Hey, sexy.
Live science reports that the two species have been running into each other and mating.
I like that. You could run into any species of anything, but instead of fighting, they're like, you ever been with a white bear?
With greater frequency in recent years, resulting in a hybrid bear known as a pizzly.
No, that's not what they're going to call it, is it?
Or a growler.
I think growler's better than pizzly.
Two factors behind the phenomenon. Grizzlies are moving north because of hotter temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Polar bears are moving south in search of food as the Arctic ice melts. So what do you get when you cross a polar bear and a grizzly bear? You get this fluffy reminder of how climate change is transforming our planet at an alarming rate. Right, because of the two bears diverged recently, relatively speaking, they're still able to mate and produce offspring. Usually hybrids aren't better suited to their environments than their parents, but there's a possibility these bears might be able to forage for a broader range of food sources.
But see, this is terrifying. And the reason why is this. Like, grizzly bears are already grizzly bears. And I know, what is it, brown bears are the most aggressive. But you don't want to mess with a grizzly bear. I think we all agree with that. But it seems terrible to take all of the instincts of a polar bear and then put that in a grizzly bear. Because a polar bear, being in a place so barren of food, like, basically, if it smells you, it will hunt you until it finds. It could be days. It could be whatever the hell. Like, I don't want that close. The reason it never bothered me is I'm like, I'm not going to the Arctic Circle.
Well,
it's not a problem.
Difference is polar bears have a specific diet, and they have huge teeth.
because they're pulling seals out of the water.
Have you seen them like hunt baby whales? I mean, they take their front paw, right? You're standing on top of ice and they smell a baby like pilot whale or something under the ice. So, and they take their front paws and they smash through it and they go into the water and they pull a goddamn whale out of the water and eat it.
Mm-hmm. They got to eat through all the blubber.
That's what they're eating. And, and the teeth are bigger and sharper because of the blubber. So polar bears have decent teeth, but they're really sharp and they're really big. Where grizzly bears, for the most part, are eating salmon. They're eating wild animals.
You got bitch teeth. I'm scared.
But they're not as big and they're not as they're not as sharp as the polars.
Right.
Does it eventually just become polar bears? Or can they, like...
I mean, well, what do you mean? Because at this point, if they were to just keep meeting, it would just be this thing in between, right? The pizzly? Is that what I call it?
The pizzly bear? No, it's called the pizzly or the growler.
But after a while, if it was just pizzlies and like, if there's no more grizzlies, then it seems like they would all end up being polar bears, right?
So you said no more grizzlies, but there's still some polars. So then it's pizzlies and polars?
That's the way it looks like it's going.
I would feel like there's more grizzly bears than polar bears. I have no idea what the case might be. I think in the end, you're going to have nothing but pizzlies.
I'm not looking at a bear that big and calling it a pizzly. Now, it doesn't understand English, but I feel like it would be a
somehow it would get
it.
Did you call me a pizzly? Yeah.
Right. Grizzly bear, polar bear.
All cartoon bears pizzly. Speak English.
Right.
Yogi Bear.
Good point.
Smokey Bear.
Only you. Well, actually, Smokey Bear is fluent in four languages, but for the purposes of the U.S., yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You only hear the American version of Smokey Bear.
His native language is Portuguese.
More of the random question coming up 206-421-ROCK.
99.9 KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
Random question. Get in there at 206-421-ROCK.
I would just add the conversation about, I guess, polar bears and grizzly bears starting to get it on and create pizzlies. Then we said, my God, call them growler bears. It just sounds better. Well, I found out why we can't call them growler bears. Do you know why, Ted?
No.
Because growler bear is already taken. But a growler bear is a polar bear plus a brown bear.
Huh.
And then we have a few more hybrids that are out there. See if you can guess what they are. And so we've all heard of the liger.
All right, lion, tiger. Lion.
Specifically a male lion and a female tiger. But if it's a male tiger and a female lion, then it's a tigon. And take a look at that. You don't ever want to mess with
them. Wow.
Oh, we have more. Oh, here you go, Ted. So there's the liger. All right. There's the tiger. Both of them will kill you. Just understand that. When you combine a zebra and a donkey, they call it a zonkey.
That is zonkey.
That little thing looks weird.
But it looks like it should be called a zonkey. A male jaguar and a female lion might be the coolest looking thing I've ever seen, but the jaglion.
Damn.
Right?
Oh, that would be terrifying to see in the wild.
It, too, will kill you. When you get a goat and a sheep.
Like, looks like Darth Maul of the animal world.
You know, man, it really does. If Darth Maul were a cat, it would be that. A goat and a sheep. Any guesses on the name?
A goat and a sheep.
Yep.
A shoat.
Nope. A geep.
Geep.
And look, geep. Look at that cute little thing. That is cute.
Okay.
And I bet you tasty. Yeah, we covered the growler bear, which is the polar bear, and brown bear, not to be confused with the pizzly bear, which is the polar bear and a grizzly. There's the coy wolf, coyote and a wolf. The zebroid. That's a zebra plus any other equine animal.
So a horse.
A horse, you name it, right?
Donkey, I guess.
The savannah cat. Here's a great idea. A domestic cat and a serval. But at least the name Savannah Cat doesn't sound stupid, like a geep or something. The wolfin.
A dolphin and a walleye.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a male false killer whale plus a female bottlenose dolphin. So there it is. Slightly bigger than a dolphin, a little bit darker. We also have the beefalo. We're familiar with that. Buffalo and a cow. The henny. That's the female donkey plus a male horse.
It's called the henny?
The henny, yeah.
You can drink it.
Yeah. Popular in some cultures. The narluga. That's a narwhal whale plus a beluga. I get a feeling polar bears.
So basically, if you're a mammal and you swim, there's a chance that you can cross-pollinate.
It seems like
just about anything.
The mammals, there's the camel, which is a camel and a llama. This one makes no sense. If you take a cow plus a wild yak, you get a zoe. D-Z-O.
Sounds like we're back to the henny and the yak.
The leopon, that's a male leopard with a female lion.
And cats. So it's cats on land and it's mammals at sea.
Well, the sea mammal and then the mullard. In the duck world,
a duck?
It's a mallard plus a Muscovy duck. The zubron, which is a cow plus a European bison. And that's what I got. So there you go. Yeah. There are some
crazy.
Random,
some names
random,
are better
random,
than others.
Random.
Hello, Dave.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the men's
random,
room.
Random,
happy Monday, gentlemen.
Hola!
Dave, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, Dave, let's go with this one.
In your lifetime, what would you say is the longest amount of time that you have spent alone?
Ooh. Oh, God. I would say, unfortunately, this pandemic.
So for the past year?
Yeah, I mean, I was a restaurant manager, got terminated on March 16th of last year, and, you know.
It's almost 15 months. Work.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I mean, my wife does work from home, but when she's working from home, it's not like we're engaging.
You know? Okay. What about what about in general? You know what I mean? Aside from just you being by yourself someplace. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's driving me that's crazy. It's just because also, I'm sure maybe like you, Miles, or Thrill, or whatever, it's just the way you're raised. I've never been out of work this long in my life.
Right.
And it's just wrong. I mean, I can picture my dad upstairs in heaven looking down at me and going, what the hell's going on?
And to keep in mind, Sunshine's looking up at you.
A pandemic's going on.
But I will say this. No, I've been unemployed before, but I wasn't alone. You know what I mean? I was just lazy and stupid and on drugs with a bunch of people, but we weren't alone. You know, alone is entirely different than unemployed, right? Like, unemployment, I've been around the block a couple times. Most people I know have been. But either you had roommates, you're still living at home, whatever the case is. But, like, physically being alone, maybe. See, I don't even know you qualify, right? Because you say when you're homeless, you're alone, but you're also living on the street with 600,000 people walking by.
That's pretty well alone, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're not having conversations with the people that aren't yourself, so.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's wild. I mean, I'm at a point in my life where my youngest kid is 28 years old, and he just got married last year in June in Austin, Texas. And it's like you're not even engaged with your family as much because you can't travel.
I mean, yeah, sure. Yeah, no, without question. My stepfather is having a tough time.
You know, we just, both my wife and I finally got our second vaccinations last week, and I'm ecstatic about that so that summertime comes. I've got a daughter and a son who both live in Bend, Oregon. I want to head down there and say hi to them, you know.
Well, it seems to me like if you want to, Dave, you've got some time now. Bend, Oregon isn't too far of a drive. You can drive about four or 5 hours or so. And
yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, exactly. It's just, but it's been, I mean, this is something all of us have never been through before.
Yeah.
This is absurd. And you just deal with it. And then, you know, you hear, you know, statistics where they go, oh, more people have died during the pandemic this year than all military personnel during the World War II. And you're going, damn.
Yeah, well, it's over half a million people, man.
Well, yeah, but not all of us were engaged in World War II.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of, like, if everyone in the country went overseas to fight, I'm sure the casualties would have been higher. The vast majority of us weren't there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think, man. Maybe alone. I mean, alone 3 days.
3 days?
3 days alone. And that was, Mike, for Order of the Arrow, where they dump you out in the middle of the woods and you have to stay out there for a few days by yourself. I mean,
what counts?
I mean,
like, can you have any contact with people?
Yeah, but
I mean, you still have I mean, like, if you order food or something like that.
I spent, like, 8 days alone just in a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you quarantined when you thought that you might have or you just thought you might have the symptoms.
Oh.
Yeah, that was solid weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was 2 weeks.
And you were losing your mind by the end. I remember that. Yeah.
So, I mean, that definitely counts. Back to that.
I mean, if homeless counts alone, 3 months, but it's, like I said, it's different. There's still people all around you, you know what I mean?
My stepfather, he lives where I grew up. His mom has since passed on. His father's passed on. And his two sisters have moved away. So his whole family that grew up in this town, you know, where most people never leave the town, there's just nobody there anymore. And he lost a couple of his good friends to COVID this year. So he's just like, you know, I'm the only one here. And I'm like, thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, you are the only one still there. Like, it's, sorry, dude. Like, that sucks. Random question, 206-421-ROCK. Oh, yes. By the way, I forgot to answer the question. What's the longest amount of time you spent alone? Did that last week, too. A Syrian sailor spent a frightening 4 years trapped aboard a cargo ship off the Egyptian coast. Two of them alone before he was finally allowed to go home earlier this month. Mohammed Aisha's nightmarish ordeal on the 330-foot-long container ship began over a legal dispute with Egyptian authorities. I don't know how this happened, told a newspaper. The world has been isolating, but I've been abandoned.
vessel was detained at a port in Egypt near the mouth of the Suez Canal, not long after the 29-year-old had boarded in May of 2017. Ship's captain was out running errands on shore, and Aisha was working on repairs when an Egyptian court, they boarded with a letter declaring the boat would be held until its owner paid $2,500 for a 3-ton anchor bought the year before that he never paid for. So as chief mate, the second in command, he signed the letter designating himself as the legal guardian of the vessel on the advice of the captain.
Yeah, of course, the captain. Yeah. Just sign that.
He said, I had no idea it was the biggest mistake of his life. In November of 2017, Aisha called the ship's agent to leave, but a port official told him that as the ship's legal guardian, he is required to stay on board. So he got word in September 2018
Jesus.
That his mom had died. By August 2019, he had been left entirely alone aboard the vessel as more than a dozen crew members, they called it quit one by one and went home. At night, he told the news that the ship was as dark and silent as a grave. The ship's agent supplied food and fuel, but as time went on, the deliveries got smaller and less frequent. He had no more than a few pieces of dried bread to eat some days. Two different times in 2019, he radioed distress alerts, claiming the ship was no longer supporting life, and then took a lifeboat to shore, hoping to cut through the bureaucratic red tape. Police then escorted him back each and every time. He pleaded with authorities, "Put me in jail." But they said they couldn't because he hadn't done anything wrong. He developed scurvy-like symptoms, was beginning to lose 3 teeth after months of poor nutrition. In order to fall asleep, he took up to 12 painkillers a night.
Oh,
so at least the ship was stocked with that. In March 2021, a storm blew the vessel off its anchorage, causing it to run aground near the mouth of the Suez, where the massive container ship got stuck and blocked the canal for nearly a week last month. He described the storm as divine intervention. He eventually swam ashore and left the ship. They called him, the police, the castaway, and said that they would not arrest him as long as he returned to the ship by sunset. Ultimately, he was freed after international transport workers offered to have one of its union representatives in Egypt take Mr. Aisha's place and become the legal guardian of the vessel. He was on that thing for over 3 years.
Whatever happened to the captain?
The captain took off.
Yeah, just sign this, man. I'm out of here. And they said, I want to say the last crew members that were with them left 2 years ago. So for the last 2 years, it's just him on the ship.
With no food, really.
And then they call it dried bread. I don't know about you. Is dried bread something you intend to have, or is your bread simply stale?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You say dried bread like toast is dry bread, stale bread is also dry bread. What are you eating here?
I feel like that just means like he's got nothing to put on.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's just a piece of bread.
Also, there's a story about the man who's been living alone on an Italian island for more than 30 years, and he's finally going to leave because he got in an argument with the government. I don't think he would have.
He didn't want to.
Mauro Morandi, who's 81, he would be stepping down as the caretaker of Bedelli Island. I think that's kind of close to
Greece or Italy, I believe.
It's near Sicily. What's the Sardinia? It's
Sardinia, close, sorry. Yeah.
Somewhere down in there. Previously was owned by the government. Then the government took back over in 2016. They made him the caretaker. He'd been living on the island since 1989. He accidentally landed there after his boat ran into trouble. And as he arrived, the caretakers were looking to retire.
Perfect.
So he basically just took over and wanted to start a new life close to nature. He knows every rock on the island. He knows every type of plant species. He's basically combed every rock.
He's been there for 31 years. I mean, yeah. I bet you those rocks have names.
Yeah, he's lived alone since 1989 in a former World War II shelter on the island. Visitors, by the way, are banned from swimming in the ocean, from walking on the pink beaches.
Damn.
They're still able to travel the island on an approved path. There's one place you can get and check out the island. Other than that, you're not allowed to be on that thing. He was the only person. But now, like anything else, they want him to leave the island so that it's a complete natural habitat.
I would let him stay. Like, homie's been there for 31 years.
He's also 81 years old.
Okay, yeah, we might need to get you off.
Random,
it's not
random,
you, it's your
random,
age.
Random, yeah. Random,
hello, Andrew, random, welcome random, to the men's room. Random,
hola.
Hola.
Andrew, welcome to the program. Random question. Andrew, would you say that you are a someone who likes a high-quality, decent meal every once in a while?
Yes, sir.
All right, here's your question. What do you get a Red Lobster?
I did, well, you gotta go with the cheddar biscuits to start off.
Does anybody not get the cheddar biscuits? Anybody.
I mean, if you're going to Red Lobster, you gotta get them.
It's like the breadsticks at Olive Garden. Yeah. Like, whatever else you got, you're eating those two.
So you start with the Cheddar Bay biscuits, then what?
I get steak and baked potato, guys.
You don't get any seafood.
I can't eat seafood. I eat it and I get sick.
How is the steak then at Red Lobster? Pretty good?
It's actually not bad. I mean, I cook a better steak myself, but I'm not going to complain because the cheddar biscuits are always worth it.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the cheddar biscuits, man. Make the steak better. What happens if you eat seafood? Does your throat close up, hives?
No, usually it just goes down to my system and then wants to come right back up. It's just one of those things. I can eat like a few shrimp and then all of a sudden eat too much and then I'm sick. So I stay away from seafood.
Is that considered an allergy, do you think? Just a different kind of seafood allergy? I mean, instead of your throat swelling up or you flushing and getting all red or, you know what I mean, any of the other things. Or even just being near shellfish without eating it, you know what I mean?
Some of those people, yeah, man.
Right, exactly, being that close.
Well, that's crazy. I can fish, do all that types of stuff. Doesn't bother me. It's just as soon as I eat it, that's when I get sick.
So is it just fish? Is it shellfish? Is it specific to shellfish? Or could you have a piece of salmon, say?
Salmon, no. Halibut, yes.
Interesting.
Huh.
Okay. All
right. That's very strange. Lucky you for the weird food allergies.
Yeah. All right.
But like a seafood allergy, I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to Red Lobster for the cheddar bacon.
I'm going to get whatever their special is. They have like two or three things on a plate. You know
do they
I mean?
Run specials? Oh, you mean like their advertised specials?
They have like different days. We'll have like shrimp feast, shrimp days, lobster
Everybody has
days.
A shrimp day.
They always have all that kind of different stuff, but they have a different combination of things.
Does Red Lobster ever mess around with crab? Or are they specific?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got like crab legs and stuff.
Okay. I did not know.
Here's why we asked, what do you get a Red Lobster? The restaurant chain Red Lobster is known for having a big tank in front of each of their locations full of lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
Those are actually the lobsters you eat. Typically, these animals are destined to end up on someone's dinner plate. That is not the case for one lobster in Virginia. It turned out being a rare specimen can have its perks. The lobster in question is also referred to as one of the rarest lobsters in the world. That made it even more of a surprise when it turned up in a tank at a Red Lobster in Manassas, Virginia.
As opposed to an aquarium.
Fortunately, the lobster was noticed by one of the servers while it was still alive, and they said, hey, what in the hell's that? And it was rescued from being served as dinner. The animal, which has been nicknamed Freckles, due to its appearance, is a calico lobster. According to news outlets, these sorts of lobsters are named for the spotted design that appears on their shell and only occur in about one in every 30 million lobsters.
Damn.
So Freckles was shipped immediately to the Virginia Living Museum for its lobster display.
Right.
So they made a big deal out of this thing. One in 30 million. They're like, hey, man, people are going in to see this thing now, right? A spokesman for Red Lobster said, calico-colored lobsters, like Freckles, are so rare. It was almost unbelievable we received one. We're proud of our employees for recognizing that Freckles was special and for reaching out.
Or it may have looked diseased, like I would not eat that thing.
Yeah, and they appreciate the friends of the Akron Zoo who made the connection to the Virginia Living Museum, all these things. By the way, as far as Red Lobster goes, this is not the first time that anything like this has happened there. Last year, Fox News reported that a rare blue lobster was rescued by employees at a Red Lobster in Akron, Ohio, after the unusual creature came into the restaurant as part of its live lobster shipment. Seeing the coloring, an employee contacted Seafood Watch. They're a conservation program run by the Monterey Bay Aquarium in California.
Sure they are.
And they hooked this thing up with a new home as well. I just think it's so weird that Red Lobster, you know, like for some reason, I don't even know why.
It makes sense because they do it with a lot of lobsters.
I know.
But here's my question. If you're Red Lobster and say once a year you stumble on one of these specimens and it's such a big deal that, you know, aquatic places want them. Red Lobster, if I'm you, like open a place in Vegas. Like, look, these are the weird ass lobster that have come through our restaurants. Right? Because if Freckles is that exciting to see, then if I'm in Vegas, I'll go to the Red Lobster Living Museum.
Well, the difference is somebody's
going
to offer up like $500,000 to eat the damn thing. And they're probably going to take the cash.
Well, most of the workers in a Red Lobster, I mean, no offense, but like, it's just working at a restaurant.
I know.
Not like a lobster expert. So
I know you're not a lobster expert, but what I'm saying is, but that's what I'm saying, right? So it's just some servers like, was that lobster have Freckles? Now, this guy was not saying this is rare. He didn't say it's one of 30 million. What I bet he said is, hey, dude, you got to get that thing out of the tank. It's unsightly.
Well,
and this isn't what people want to eat. If you showed me a freckled cow, even if you said, ooh, it's rare, like, I don't want my burger from that
one. Look, you work an 8-hour shift to Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
How many lobsters are you making? easily 100, 200 lobsters, right?
Probably. You're going in the tank and pulling them out. I mean, you know if one is a little bit different looking. It's like that one shrimp where you go, I probably shouldn't eat that. I mean, you can identify.
No, you say that. Right, exactly. I say, I'm throwing this one away.
Yeah, exactly.
Random, 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 random.
Hello, Matt.
Random,
welcome random, to the men's room. Random,
hola.
Hola. Random,
Matt, welcome to the program. Random question, question. Random,
random, okay.
All right.
This is going to be a strange one, but it bears an answer. Why was someone else's poop on you?
Well, I got two kids, so that could just go anywhere.
How old are your kids now?
3 and 5.
Okay, you're not quite at the cutoff right yet. I feel like when your youngest one gets to 5, you go, okay, listen, this is Dad's rule. Whatever you do in the poop department, it is now solely your I cannot come to the rescue anymore. I am not wiping your butt anymore. I'm not dealing with poopy. Like, it's all you now.
What was the most inopportune time that you had to deal with just a really messy situation?
Well, I mean, my daughter seems to be the explosive one out of the two of them.
Right there, so, with
I mean,
brother.
I've gotten it on my hand where, like, I thought, oh, you're all clean, and I touch her back, and it's just all over my hand.
Okay, yeah.
It's, I mean, the first time I changed my daughter's diaper. So when kids are born, if you don't know, the first couple of times they poop, it's not normal poop. There's like this black tar kind of substance still getting out amniotic fluid and all this. But once that's done, well, now the poop train's rolling for the rest of your life. I do not know when this is going to happen. But my wife had run to the grocery store. It's maybe 20 minutes alone with the daughter. She's a couple days old, a week, whatever. I got changing diapers down again because I forgot that real poop is coming. And I remember I pull off her diaper, and this is the first time that human feces is in my house, right? Because it had been that black tar stuff. But as I'm changing her, she cannot sit still. She's kicking her feet back and forth, but her heels would hit her butt cheeks. Dude, so by the time I'm done changing this diaper, I had poop in my beard. There's poop on the mirror. There's poop. Dude, and I mean, and this all happened in like 15 seconds.
Jesus.
And I was like, she's got to go up for adoption. She can't live here. It cannot be this way.
Reason we asked, why was someone else's poop on you? According to Scan Nashville on Twitter, a call came over the Metro Nashville police radio last night for assistance at Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse. That is the actual name of this place
is
in Nashville on Broadway.
It's got a lot going on.
Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse. Seems there was a man who was stirring up stuff at the bar, and by that I mean he had removed his colostomy bag and was flinging poo around at others. According to the scanner traffic, this was not the first time or the second time, but it was in fact the third time police had been in contact with a man that night, and he had previously refused medical attention both times. Then when police encountered the man again, he removed his colostomy bag and began flinging poo on the responding officers.
That is awful.
Yes. Well, the poo-flinging man was eventually arrested. At least one officer was temporarily out of service as he had to go home and make a quick wardrobe change. Let's hope he took a shower. No word on yet what the man's facing as far as charges go. But either way, not once, not twice, the third time.
And
he had
one
flung two from his bag while out in the town of Nashville.
I can't believe you get three strikes on that. You throw one turd in a restaurant, like, you got to go.
I can't just imagine driving by Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse and saying, we should go in there.
Right.
Can you?
Not anymore.
Who would you talk into doing that with him?
No one I know.
I mean, so I'm saying, like, good God. More of the random question coming up, 206-421-ROCK.